God's grace and His peace be multiplied unto you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we consider the Word of God as it is recorded in Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. Immediately He made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent them away, He departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and He was alone on the land. Then He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw Him and were troubled. But immediately He talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then He went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. This is the word of our God. Your fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Expect the unexpected. We like that at times. We like to expect the unexpected, or we come to expect it in a movie. We don't like the murder mystery or some other type of movie where there's a crime involved to think that the obvious person did it. We want to be surprised at the end and amazed. We like to expect the unexpected many times in sports. If we don't have a favorite team that we're rooting for, we like to see the underdog win. Super Bowl III was one of the most popular Super Bowls, still talked about to this day because of the huge upset of the Jets versus the Colts. What about expecting the expected? That sounds boring. That sounds very humdrum, because we like to have a little spice in our lives at times. Yet when it comes to God's grace and His love and His mercy, it is a great thing to be able to expect the expected, to be able to rely wholeheartedly upon our Lord and His faithfulness and His reliability. What would really be unexpected about God is what at times we end up doing. We end up lowering Himself to our human standards, and then we're surprised when He does a miracle or when He comes through for us. We present ourselves with unnecessary problems when we rely on our own strength and our own power. Today, as we consider this familiar account of Jesus walking on the water, we remember to expect the expected from our gracious God and not be surprised by His great love and action. One reason that surprise may occur when it comes to our Lord's greatness and His love is that we try to make Him like ourselves, that we feel like He is going to react in the same way that we do and have those same limitations of love, the same limited power that we have. Just consider the background to our text. Just about maybe 12 hours or so before this occurred that we read about, Jesus had fed the 5,000, one of the most well-known miracles in that day. It's mentioned in three of the gospel accounts. He had taken those five loaves of bread and two fish, fed 5,000 men, plus additional women and children. And people were so impressed by that that they wanted to make Jesus their king. In fact, later on, it's mentioned in verse 52, they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. They didn't understand the power and the divinity and who exactly Jesus was behind that miracle. They saw him, it would seem, like many other people did, as some sort of trick artist that could do this for them and could produce these miracles time after time. But they didn't stop to consider and let it sink in what that meant to them personally, that he was a Savior with almighty power who had come not just to impress them with these amazing miracles, but who had come to take care of them and to provide for their souls as well as their body. And so it wasn't too much time later that as Jesus put them on the boats, on the boat to go across the Sea of Galilee, that he went to pray, and a storm arose, that they seemed then to forget about the power of Jesus. How quickly they did so. They also forgot that Jesus had one time calmed the storm with his words. They forgot that he was looking out for them, that he had promised to take care of them, not only for this life, but for eternity. And so they struggled, and they were frightened, and they didn't know what to do. They needed, at that time, Jesus more than ever. And yet, they were surprised to see him coming, walking across the water. They put a limit on him. First of all, that he would even know about it. We read in our text how Jesus, even though he was a long distance away, impossible for human vision, that he saw them struggling. And that he came to their aid, even though he didn't have the human means to do so. They were so surprised by his abilities that they couldn't figure out who that was coming across the water. We read how they supposed that it was a ghost. They went back to their old superstitions rather than thinking about the divinity of Jesus. When Jesus came on board the ship and the wind stopped, we read in verse 51, they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. At times the apostles had a very tiny faith. Didn't Jesus say to them on this occasion and the other gospel account and at other times, "Oh, you of little faith"? We also, though, are so very much like those disciples, identical in so many ways, because this is a human reaction, and we do the very same thing. We confess and believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. Just moments ago in the Apostles' Creed, we listed many things that we believe about Jesus, including that he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, that he has everlasting power, or unimaginable power. We've read numerous times about his miracles and what he has done. And yet, when we find ourselves in a bind, when we find ourselves in some dilemma, what do? Is our first reaction to call out to Christ for him to help us? Not often. Oftentimes, we try to solve the problem ourselves. We worry. We fret. We become frightened. We become despondent and depressed. And this only happens when we forget about the power of Jesus and about his promises to us. When you consider what he has done for us and what he's promised to do for us, well, it makes walking in the water seem like small potatoes. What has he done? He says, "I'm going to forgive you the entirety of your sin. I'm going to forgive you unconditionally." That's not how humans react. We tend to hold grudges. We tend to remember when we've been wronged and hold that against a person. Jesus says, "No. I give you total and complete forgiveness. Your sins I will remember no more." Jesus has said, "I'm never going to forget about you. I'm going to shepherd you. I'm going to lead you to everlasting life." That's not human thinking. Even the most precious people in our lives, we forget about them on occasion. And certainly, we don't hold out any love as we should toward our enemies. The Lord has promised that He's going to hear us anytime that we talk to Him, anywhere we are. That's beyond human measure as well, that He wants to listen to us. Don't limit God to human standards, thus expecting Him to fail, expecting Him to let you down. Expect the divine. Expect Jesus to come walking across the water. If the disciples at this point would have had a huge faith, and this would be a huge thing, when Jesus came walking across the water, they could have simply said, "Oh, hi, Jesus. We've been expecting you. You're right on time." That's really how our mindset should be. We're losing out on blessings. We're unnecessarily burdening ourselves with worry when we lower our expectations of Jesus. We can rely on Jesus to continue doing as He has done in the past. Expect that. There can be apprehension in human relationships because we let each other down. And one might say to another, "Well, my trust for you, that has to be earned." Okay, granted, if you get burned sometimes, you have this hesitancy to trust in other people. But when it comes to the Lord, we may wholeheartedly trust in Him. He's never let us down. It's interesting, at the beginning of our text in verse 45, how it says that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. That's a strong word there. He compelled them. And I wonder, as the waves were crashing about them and they were struggling to stay afloat, if the disciples thought back to the fact that Jesus pushed them out there, that He had put them in that very predicament. Seems unlike Jesus, doesn't it, to do so? But He did. He knew what was going to happen. Yet He compelled them. He made them get into the boat. And by the end, you could see the divine purpose to it. Jesus was glorified, and the disciples were strengthened. How many times have you done what the Lord has told you to do in His Word? How many times have you followed in His steps and felt like you've gotten burned? That you've been cursed because you followed what Jesus told you to do? You feel persecuted, or you feel like life is not working out. Well, we have to think the same way. That just as Jesus had a plan for those disciples on the boat, even though in the middle of it they didn't see it, He has a plan for each one of us. We are blessed in following Jesus. There's not been one single time that He's let us down. His love has not wavered. His faithfulness has never been set aside. You are the focus of God's love and attention. But try to wrap your mind around that for a minute. You think the Lord has better things to do. He has a world to operate. He has to keep the earth rotating around the sun. He's dealing with nations, dictators, war, keeping crops growing. A ton of stuff to do. And yet the Lord says, "I'm going to focus on you." Stand in awe of that love of God which knows no limit. As much as we hear of that love, continue to expect it and continue to be amazed by it. The moment that we start taking the Lord for granted, even though He's steady and reliable, the moment we take Him for granted can be the moment that we start to despise His love, that we would become half-hearted or hard-hearted. Worship with joy in your lips, with praise in your hearts, with thanksgiving in your actions, because you recognize the undeserved love and the unconditional love of God for what it is. It is amazing. Surprised by it? No, we ought not to be. But awed by it? Indeed. Don't be surprised when God hears and answers your prayers according to what's best for you, but maybe not according to your mind. Have that trust that His love in action continues. With God, expect the expected, but not according to your expectations, according to His. You're never going to be let down when you rely on God's love and His power. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.